So we've heard the phrase power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But where did that phrase come from? We'll talk about that on today's episode of The Leadersmith.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So the phrase, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, comes from a man named Lord Acton. His full name was John Emmerich Edward Dalberg, Lord Acton. So that Lord Acton is his title, is part of the aristocracy. And so he's talking to Bishop Creighton, and he's talking about writing a history. Creighton was a little bit too easy on the popes, and some, particularly he's talking about during the time of the Inquisition. It seems like in Creighton's writing, he was smoothing over some of the Inquisition and not really painting the leaders, the popes particularly, as they actually were. He was kind of whitewashing history. And so he said this, and I'm going to give you the full quote in context, just the paragraph, not all the letters. I've read all the letters, but just this one paragraph, because it makes a lot more sense out of what was going on. He says this: I cannot accept your canon that we are to judge Pope and King unlike other men, with favorable presumption that they did no wrong. Okay, let me stop there. So leaders need to be held to the same standards as everyone else. We can't just excuse them just because they were a pope or a king or something along those lines. He continues, if there's any presumption, it's the other way against holders of power, increasing as the power increases. So what he's saying is you have to actually hold leaders to a higher and higher standard as they raise higher and higher. Historic responsibility has made up for the want of legal responsibility. What he's saying here is that as a historian, you have to make sure that you're holding them accountable and saying the right thing here, because even if they weren't responsible by law during their lifetime or during their time in power, you need to say the right thing. Then he says the quote that is very famous: power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now let's just unpack that phrase and play with it for a little bit. So power corrupts. Why does power corrupt? It's a fascinating thing. Like if people are basically, okay, and then they get power, what's going on? I mean, what? So my read is this: power magnifies what you are. It propels you. If you're kind of a good person, it kind of helps you do more good, although you have to be careful with it. If you're already kind of having tendency to being bad, you're going to be a tyrant. So power makes you more of what you are. Money makes you more of what you are. Fame makes you more of what you are. But I think there's also a negative tendency in general of power, because it just seems to make good people worse in general. So power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He says this, he goes on to the next sentence: great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. Whoa. So he's saying that the great names of history are almost always bad. And that's true even when they are not direct power holders, but they simply influence, which is really interesting to hear. Okay. Still more when you super add the tendency or the certainty of corruption by authority. What he's saying is it's more likely that these people, the authority that you grant to leaders is going to corrupt them. And I think that's true politically. I think that's true in organizations. It's even true in the educational system, in a classroom. I've seen first grade teachers that were tyrants. Okay. There is no worse heresy, he continues, there's no worse heresy than that the office sanctifies the holder of it. Just because you're in power doesn't mean you can do bad things, is what he's saying. That is the point at which the negation of Catholicism and negation of liberalism meet and keep high festival, and the end learns to justify the means. We don't want the end to justify the means. That's bad. It's always bad. It never works out well. If you're doing anything where the end justifies the means, stop right now. Reconsider what you're doing. Okay, I'm going to continue here. You would hang a man of no position like Ravelic. But if what one hears is true, then Elizabeth asked for the jailer to murder Mary, and William III ordered his Scots minister to extirpate the clan. What's he talking about? He's talking about we are going to punish people that are committing this simple crime. But if what we hear is true, also these people in charge, in power, are committing these crimes. He says this, here are the greater names coupled with the greater crimes. You would spare these criminals for some mysterious reason. I would hang them higher than Haman for reasons quite obvious to justice. Still more, still higher for the sake of historical science. So what he's saying is, you can't let leaders off the hook because they're leaders and say, well, they're in charge, so they can do this bad. No, hang them higher than Haman. That's an allusion to the biblical book of Esther, where Haman was one of the government officials. And when he tried to kill all the Jews, his plot was found out, and he was actually hung on the gallows that he constructed to kill the Jews. So all this to say this, what Lord Acton is saying is you cannot excuse leaders for doing wrong. More to the point, when you give people power, it tends to corrupt them. And the higher they go, the more corrupt it tends to be. So be very careful. We're studying leadership. We're thinking about leadership. I want you to be the kind of leader that you would want to follow. But what you find is that most leaders, the higher they go, it seems like they go off the reservation. What's going on? Well, Lord Acton is telling you, power corrupts. So you have to deal with the idea of what you're going to do with power now so that it doesn't corrupt you later. You have to wrestle with, I'm actually scared of power. I've been studying leadership and power for 20 some odd years now. I find it frightening because I know that this is what happens to people along the way. So please think through this now, because if you're listening to this, you're probably the kind of person that's attracted to discussions about leadership and power, and you want to do well when you get there. So I want you to do well as well. So think through, process, what does that mean that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely? And if that's true, it can happen to you. Okay, so our quotation for contemplation comes from Abraham Lincoln. He said this, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Hey, thanks. That's all we have for today's show. I hope that was helpful, and I hope that gave you a lot of food for thought. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.